We are back. We are live. And tonight we're talking with Chris and Alex. And they are a team who also do a, let's see if I got this correct. I want to make sure I get everything correct. They have a site called Paranormal Kicks Cancer. Kind of a unique thing there, I take it. You do events to as a foundation to raise money for cancer?
Yes.
Okay. So now I want to get going here with the first question out of the box. And that would be, what got you started and interested in the paranormal?
You want me to talk? Well, I was born on 13th. So I kind of feel like I was born for this stuff. My whole life, I've always been like the horror girl. I watch all the horror movies. Halloween's my favorite holiday. It's like a 6-week affair. But I actually didn't officially start ghost hunting until a year and a half ago. And I met Chris at one of his events. And that was the very first time I did a paranormal investigation. And there's kind of history. And from that point on, I probably investigated more in that year and a half than most people have done in 4 or 5 years. So it's just, if you ask, like when I told my mom I was dating a ghost hunter, she was like, of course you are. You know, she's like, of course, Alex. So, you know, it's just, it's my lifestyle. It's our lifestyle. And it's just, it's what we do. So.
And Chris, same question to you.
How far back we want to go?
You can go as far back as you'd like.
Well, what originally got me started was my grandmother had passed away. And then at that time we lived in Florida. So we flew to New Jersey and we stayed at the family house for the funeral. And when we went to, you know, who's sleeping where and whatever, because everyone's, you know, family's all together. Right. They put me up in the attic because no one else wanted to climb the stairs in the attic to go to sleep. So the young one got to suffer and take the stairs. So first night I went to sleep, I jumped up in bed, turned the light out, and all of a sudden I was probably between, it was like, I was like 9 or 10 at the time. So as soon as I jumped into bed, the light off, all of a sudden the chair starts rocking and I hear a female's voice, like a soothing voice. And there's no one in the room. So of course, at that age, you jump out of bed, turn the light on, like there's nobody there. But then the rocking chair started slowly stopping. So then you jump into bed again, turn the light out, same thing would happen. So that happened for like the first 3 nights. And then the next morning, we're eating breakfast downstairs, getting ready. And one of my family members happened to say, I can't believe she passed away in the house in her bedroom upstairs. So from that day forward, of course, I was downstairs with mom and dad. From that night forward, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, then, as I was getting older, it was, what had happened? How did the rocking chair start? And it was always in my mind. And then probably like I was thinking about it, you know, what to do, how to do it, you know. And then, of course, Ghost Hunters came out, and which thank God for that show itself, because then it opened the paranormal field, you know, took us to a whole new level. So we can then talk about it. We weren't shunned about the whole paranormal side of things and what goes bump in the night, so to speak. And then a good friend of mine wanted to start a paranormal team in 2005. So then in 2006, the team started called Proof, Paranormal Research Organization of Florida. And then 2 years later, he was like, it's more of a job than it is fun. So he's like, do you want to take it over? So then I took it over in 2008, and I've had it ever since. And then in 2011, I ended up going to a PKC event, which PKC originally started in 2010. So between 2011 and 2012, I was asked to help with the event. And then I really liked the events, but they weren't streamlined and people were questioning certain things. So I said, if you want my help, we need to streamline it. We need to get a 501c3 backing. And then need to show people where the money's going and show who we're helping. And so I LLC'd it. And then from there, it's history. I've just been going forward with it ever since.
Cool. Cool. So was there any particular reason that you chose to back the Paranormal Kicks Cancer?
Just at the time, a couple of teams, what really got it started was in 2010, a couple of teams had members that were stricken with cancer. Mm-hmm. And I really liked the idea of how can we do what's more than just what goes bump in the night to now we're helping the community or helping people in need.
Right. And I
liked the concept. And then at that point, it was like, now we need a backing to go with it so we can really branch out and do this to help as many people as possible. And that's when I figured we started it with Base Camp Children's Cancer Foundation, but they're based out of Orlando.
Okay.
Florida. And then when we were like, someone wanted to go ahead and someone needed help in Pennsylvania, so we go to do it, and they're like, well, the money's not coming. I'm like, well, they're based out of Orlando. The money has to go back to Orlando and help the kids there. And, of course, you always got friction because you want to go back and help in the community that you're at, you right. know. So go back or move ahead to about 3.5-4 years ago, my father ended up getting cancer. He passed away 3 months after he got it. Never sick a day in his life. He was a Marine. He was a policeman for 28 years. Nothing but gave to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And his motto, when we always talked, was our children are our future. So we were already working with Big Camp. And then at that point, I took it up a notch. And I said, what more can we do for the community? And then we hooked up with ACCO, the American Childhood Cancer Organization, and we went nationwide.
Right.
So now we can go all over the nation, helping kids, helping families, anywhere.
Cool.
And I took it up one more notch, and Paranormal with a Purpose, which now not only can we help kids with cancer, but we can now help battered women, wounded vets, shelter. We now can umbrella it, open up and help whoever, wherever, whenever, however we need to.
That is really, really cool and commendable. I really like that. It's always a good thing if you can put yourself in a position where you can give back to the communities where you live. And well, that's one of the things we need more of in this nation.
Right. And the paranormal field itself, a lot of people, and it, back to before Ghost Hunters came out, we were weren't allowed to talk about it. We weren't allowed to do it, you know. And then everyone's like, oh, you're just the spook factor and you just care about, you know, and you don't really help people. Well, this shows that we do a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Us, what goes bump in the night. I use that term all the time because it stands out to me. You know, more than we now help the community and we can show and prove that everyone in the field does more than just that.
No, that is really good. And so in everything that you do, now there is one charity that I really like and Joe likes a lot too, because if it wasn't for them, I don't think Joe would actually be here. It's St. Jude's. Do you do anything with them?
I haven't. I want to. They actually, years ago, and his family were stricken with a fire. And my niece got burnt over 80% of her body.
The oh, damn. Only
part of her body that was not touched was her face. And she's 36 now, I believe. St. Jude's has covered the bill from day one and's never asked for a dime. And anytime someone talks about them, I say that's one of the very few charities that I would donate to. And I always back because they don't do. They are awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They are one of the absolute best.
Partner with them and try to help them somehow, too, as things grow and as we fan out and get more people to back us and help us and connect.
Yeah, they even share their research.
Yes.
Their groundbreaking research, if it wasn't for them sharing it with other hospitals, I probably wouldn't have made it through what I went through. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's just awesome across the board.
Yeah, what they do, yeah, those parents they get, you know, no bill ever, and their kids get like the best absolute care possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, and the parents don't even call them. St. Jude's calls them every time there's an appointment, every time there's something, and they say, "This is where you're going. This is where you're getting your help." You know, mm-hmm. need. They always go above and beyond.
Oh yeah,
always.
Definitely. They are one of the absolute best, and they're about the only charity that I would even, that I even will donate to.
I kind of back you on that one.
I don't trust that. I have trust issues with a lot of these different charities out there.
Well, and that's, and with that said, I back you with that, but I also would donate to ours because we give 70 to 80% to the kids.
Yeah,
we don't do this. 18% of your dollar goes to the cause.
Yeah,
no,
you know, we make the extra phone calls to get extra stuff, to get things donated, to save that money to give more money to the kids.
Yeah,
or families. Or the gift cards for gas or food when the parents can't get to the hospital for the kid. Mm-hmm.
No, I got you on that. I just it's
and
I don't know.
Well, here's another fact: you won't see either one of us getting a $1 million bonus anytime soon.
Oh hell no!
The bonuses that they get, I think, are a joke. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's $100,000 or $1 million that. That can help how much research?
Oh, I know.
$1,000 bonus that can help the research. You know, yes, you deserve a little something for all the work you do, but something like that and the money's donated for that reason? No. I don't. I can't back it. I just can't see it.
Yeah. I also have a problem with the for-profit healthcare systems that we have too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because the money that those CEOs are pulling down, that can all go back into research, and that can all go back into helping the patients and the people that really, truly need it.
Yep.
So
we could make a whole month show of this.
Oh, I know. And we could just keep going and going with this mess. And
show you what percentages goes where at some point. You know, but it's scary.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's actually... I wouldn't really say it's scary. I'd say it's sickening.
Yeah.
It is really, truly sickening that people that would run these organizations like that can sit there and just take that money, knowing that that money can be used. Exactly. But knowing that that can be used to advance research.
Yeah.
And they just sit there and they just get it, you know, take it. Because it's there for them to take, and it's sickening.
And I believe, and I know Chris believes it with me, but what you put out comes back to you fourfold.
Oh, it's so karma.
Karma is real, and I believe that.
Alex, it's the power of three.
Right.
And that actually falls within the pagan belief, the Wiccan belief, and witchcraft. The power of three. Is what you do in life, whether it's good or bad, it will come back to you threefold.
Right. Yeah.
And that is a solid belief. What's that, Joe?
Is that Jasmine, or do you guys got a dog?
No, it's their dog.
We have four dogs and they're out front.
I heard little yapping dogs.
Nah, it's okay. It's no big deal.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
And
we both have dogs.
We have a guest that pops up on my end once in a while because she's
stubborn. And mine's starting to get brave again, where she'll come and push the door open and come inside. And
yeah,
I've got a pit bull.
We have a pit bull. We have, that's the one that's barking. We have a
That does not sound like a
pit.
That sounds like an ankle biter.
We have a pit bull, we have a husky.
What kind of husky?
This is Russell. Russell wanted to say hi.
What kind of husky?
And then we have a like smaller terrier dog called Bandit. So we have a full house. We have cats, we have fish, you name it. Not only are we lovers, but we are animal lovers.
Is it a Malamute or is it a Siberian Husky?
Siberian Husky.
Siberian Husky.
That's what I have.
That's what Joe has.
Oh, really?
I have a 3-year-old purebred Siberian Husky, and she is a pain in my ass some days.
Yeah.
She's stubborn as hell.
Yeah. They're good. So sorry about that.
Oh, no. No, it's all good. It doesn't bother me.
It's dog people's here.
I'm just surprised though that you said that was the pit barking, and that sounded like an ankle biter.
Our pit is the biter. And all the other ones don't bark. Bless her heart. So
huskies don't bark. They yelp, or whine, or they'll talk to you and argue with you.
Pretty much. So
I've raised huskies most of my life.
Chris bred huskies.
I used to breed Timberwolf husky mixes.
Wow, I bet those.
Big and beautiful. That's what I'd say.
I did so, it. Until one year, I had one litter, and then I didn't know another female was pregnant because she hid it very well. And I had two litters on Christmas. I had 18 huskies.
Wow.
And I said, enough's enough.
Well, there you go. Fun. You had enough for a sled.
A couple of sled. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of sled teams. Yeah, you only need about 9 dogs.
Exactly.
How well you'll be able to see that.
Oh, that looks like our Scott.
That's Nitro.
That's Nitro. He passed away on me about 3 years ago.
That.
Beautiful though.
Yeah, Skye's our alpha.
He was 9 years old when he passed away all of a sudden. And when I lost him, it was really bad. And then I turned around and between my wife and Mark there, we ended up with Joy. So she's pure white mostly.
Yeah.
Hard to find, yep.
Took a road trip. Took
a rare breed.
Took him way up north here in Wisconsin. We picked up a full bred.
Oh, cool.
Full red female husky for him.
So. The red ones are hard to say.
Yeah. I had one when I saved one many years ago when my oldest was born. We saved one. His name was Buddy. They had him all chained up outside like one of those commercials you see on TV and the dog's sitting there shivering and you can see the rib cages and stuff. So I rescued him, and I almost violated my lease, but I found him a good home before.
All four of ours are rescues. Our pit was taken from a dog fighting ring when she was 3, and she was the bait dog. They used to throw her in the ring, but she got a hurt leg because of it, and then she was at the vet at the rescue for 281 days. And it took that long for her to find us.
Yeah. Chrissy's so sweet. She's this real sweet dog, our pit bull.
Hearing that story makes me want to throw those idiots in the ring with the fighting dogs.
They all got theirs. All of them were arrested. And so it was a positive to save her.
I understand the arresting, but for me,
to have them deal
with I don't feel that arresting them is enough.
No, I agree.
And it's I'm a psychology minor, and it's a psychological fact that people who abuse animals will go on to abuse and torture humans.
Oh yeah.
It's almost like a gateway. And in my opinion, if you have the capacity to hurt these animals and you have the capacity to hurt anybody, and you should be a danger to society. And
I agree with you
100%. I mean,
light a kitten on fire, then you should be okay with us lighting you on fire. You know what I mean? In those situations,
give the perpetrator exactly what they dish out.
Yeah, you know, because I feel like a lot of people view animals as lesser beings, and everything has a soul. I mean, ask Chris.
I don't know. Fish These just, dogs are pretty intelligent.
My, yes, they are.
Pride, like, I just lost, like your dog. Like, to me, there was no difference between my fish
and other pet. I was devastated.
Yeah.
I'd never lost a dog like that before, and I was close to Nitro. He was a family dog for all of his life. My niece got him as a puppy, and then she's like, Uncle Joe, can you take Nitro? And it's like, yeah, bring him out here.
Aww.
And he was spoiled.
Well, yeah, he loved it out here. He wasn't living in an apartment anymore.
or in a kennel when everybody went to work. Right. So that's kind of a good segue, the way we just got this going here. In all your investigations, have you ever run across the spirit of a pet?
I personally have. I actually have a fun story. Our psychic medium Ben was on an investigation with us at the Jasper Jail in Jasper, Florida, the old Hamilton County Jail.
Heard about that one.
Him just shooting the crap, just talking to him, and all of a sudden, like, I look down and I'm like, my dog that passed away was called Phoebe. And I looked down and I saw Phoebe, my dog, like, no question. And he looks down and goes, did you just see a dog? Like a small, like little dog. And I was like, yep. And we both saw it at the exact same time, which was really cool. And I've only seen her once, but she came by to say hello. And it was kind of neat to have our medium confirm that. So. Mm-hmm. You know,
it is always nice whenever you have someone else confirm something that you've seen.
Always.
I'm sorry, what was that, Chris?
Nice to have validation always. That's why you should always have more than should always investigate in couples or pairs.
Oh yeah.
But not oh, just yeah. So you got that validation. Because everyone will question anything you put out there no matter what.
Exactly. You know, we've ran across that, and our very first investigation we did was at a place called Sanatorium Hill right here in Madison. And it's notorious because it was a tuberculosis hospital that was built back in, what was it, the 20s?
The 20s or 30s.
I think it was built in the mid-20s. Closed down in the
60s.
Yeah, and it closed down in the 60s. But we had a video that we seen on YouTube, and we went out and actually debunked it.
Wow.
Yeah, they said they saw a spirit walking across the lawn, but you know, the advice that I try to tell people, if you get into the paranormal, you got to at least know your surroundings. You know what kind of wildlife lives there, you know, like Sanatorium Hill, it's right smack dab in the middle of a big neighborhood in a community.
And there's a big park and you gotta big know. Natural park in the back of it too.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's that big park right across the street, Warner Park. But
mm-hmm.
So, you know, you gotta know the facts that at night there's like, okay, there's only one store open at night. You want a pack of smokes, you need soda or something. After a certain time at night, there's only one store open. Well, if you live up behind Sanatorium Hill, the easiest way to get through it is to cut through its lawn.
Oh, okay.
So that's exactly what somebody was doing. Somebody was up there filming and investigating, saw the person, and basically said it was a spirit and put it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So these events that you guys have been doing, you want to talk about those a little?
Go ahead.
Sure. So we go across the country, nationally. And
it would be nice to go internationally, wouldn't it?
I'm a dual citizen, so I have a passport. So that's my next thing to do. But we go nationally, and we put on events across the country. We put on, not only do we put on the paranormal investigations, but we also have celebrity guests. We have people from the shows come. We have vendors, the whole nine yards. And we raise money for the kids with cancer. So just this year alone, this year
and the locations.
Yes. And that's really been a big focus of ours since COVID is locations have really been struggling. And so not only do we split our buckets of money for the kids, but we now also make sure that the locations get a piece of the pie as well, because without the locations, there's no paranormal investigating.
Exactly.
You know, that's a part of the charity now that we're doing, is to keep those locations alive.
Money for the kids.
We have been very, very lucky in regards to the fact that paranormal investigating, at least in Florida, has really fit really well in regards to the COVID. Typically, it's very small groups. We have, it's in abandoned places. So we've actually been really utilizing this time and been doing tons of investigating as much as we can.
And helping these locations, because, for instance, like the theater that we do down here in Newport Richey, the Richey Sunco Theater, they're trying every week to just play movies for people to come in small numbers, you know, and they're making almost nothing. And then we do an event for them, and then they're like, here's a huge check. They're like, come anytime you want, you know. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're struggling to get money every day during the week, and we do one weekend, and we like triple what they make.
Yeah.
You know, and then we give it to them along with helping the kids.
Yeah.
So my big thing is, I'm tired of all these locations, whether it's COVID or not, getting knocked down for low income housing, or just the history's getting lost because they're just knocking buildings to build stuff that, you know, we don't need. There's abandoned buildings everywhere that they can go into, but no, let's knock things down and build new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to keep the history. Know. And right. our events have been successful. We've been, just this year alone, we've been to, Savannah, Georgia. We've been to Mechanicsville, Virginia. We've been to St. Augustine, Brooksville, Florida, of course, Jasper, Florida. We're going to Arcadia, Florida,
tomorrow.
Oh, I can't believe tomorrow. And then, we're going to be in Tennessee. We're actually really excited. We're going, we're the sponsor. Okay. We're going to be in Tennessee. Well,
in August, there'll be more to come.
There'll be
about
more.
That.
I just realized we can't announce anything until.
that's quite all right.
Pittsburgh Hospital we'll be at.
Yeah,
but there's more details.
There's more details for that. But yeah, we've just, and then of course our big event every year is September's Childhood Cancer.
Every September's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and you can walk around and ask 90% of the people what the gold ribbon stands for, and they have no clue. And the gold ribbon is childhood cancer awareness.
Mm-hmm.
What the pink ribbon is, but they have no clue in the world what the gold ribbon stands for. So yeah. We're trying childhood cancer awareness out. So the month of September, we do our big event. This year, we're doing one in downtown Newport Richey and in Gallatin, Tennessee. We're doing two big events. And then we want to eventually with like your listeners and anyone in the paranormal listening and any of the shows we do, we're trying to branch out. And I want to try to get one in all 50 states eventually in the month of September, you know, teams that want to help, want to volunteer, that can do the event. Mm-hmm. We'll go do the first event with them. And then that way they know how it's done, and then they can continue it the year after as we add other states to it.
That's I like that. I like that ambition. That's really good.
Oh, the whole thing is PKC is my name, not just me, not just out the help of everyone. We can't do what we do.
Right.
No,
you know,
of course we can.
And you won't hear me, and you could, Alex will tell you all the time, I don't take credit for it, because it's everyone that helps. It brings us closer to helping more kids and more families. It's not what I do. It's what we all do together.
Yeah. Yeah.
More people need to think like that.
That's exactly what I said.
The world would be a better place.
In this field, and this is the problem, who can you step on to get to where you want to go? Yeah, it's who can you bring with you so we can all get there.
Yeah. 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 Right. Raises all ships. I'm a firm believer of that. If you see, I run the Facebook page. If you look at our Facebook page, I'm talking about everybody, you know, blowing everybody up, making sure that, you know, that we're all in this together. Because if the paranormal field isn't strong, then what are we doing? You know what I mean?
you know, I've been doing it over 20 years, but I'll tell you this, if you think you've done it all and know it all in the paranormal, it's time to go bowling or time to go do something else. Because there's, you can learn every day from new people, from old people, from people not even in being in it. Yep. So, you know, there's room for everyone. And we all, there's not, this is my location, you can't go. This is my evidence. You need it all to intermingle so you can, so it can all mesh and you can learn from the evidence that you've gotten from these locations. Mm-hmm. No place is just one person. It's just like we do a lot at the Jasper Jail in Hamilton. We're remodeling it, basically.
We're renovating it.
And renovating it, bringing it back to original. That's not my place. That's anyone that wants to go can go. And anyone that wants to help can help. You know, it's not, you can't go here because Chris goes here, or you can't go because PKC or Proof goes there. You know, any place we've been to is for everyone else. And a lot of times I'll get a location because we do have an event company called Historical Adventures of the Unknown. And the whole backing, the whole premise to that is we launch new locations into the paranormal field for everyone. And I've gotten some slack because I've had a few locations that I've tried to get into. And then others have called and I call them and I'm like, look, let me get in so then we all can, because I've lost a few of them because 7 or 8 teams were calling them and in the process of what we were doing. And then the owners are like, I'm not dealing with this.
Right. You know?
So once I get in, I do a big event, invite all the paranormal teams. And then at that point, who wants to do a private, who wants to go? And now it's open. You know, there's ways to do things without banging out these locations and making them so frustrated that you're never going to be able to go into them.
Yeah, no, I
see. We ran into a location like that where we wanted to just go talk to them, find out more about the history and the stories, and they weren't even willing to talk to us much because of the flooding of people and some of them all at once. Right. And it's like
the theater. No one's been allowed in that place in over 21 years.
Wow.
A year and a half ago, they finally got in. And now they allow anyone to come. They're doing private investigations. Mm-hmm. We're doing public investigations. Mm-hmm. They're with open arms. And then the whole downtown
has really opened up for us. Yeah.
The arms are wide open for us now. We're adding a second location, a third. We've already got, we're ready to open. There's like 9 buildings downtown that they've already told us. And the city's backed us and said that we can do tours, we can do pub crawls, we can get into all these buildings.
Now keep in mind, we're you guys are in the Midwest, right?
Yeah, we're up in Wisconsin.
Okay. Florida is much more open than the rest of the country. So, you know, we also have that on our side that, you know, we were wide open like almost 9 months ago. So that's, I know probably what we're saying might be kind of foreign to some people, and because we've run into that when we go to other states.
Heck, we went to Virginia. We had a big event planned, and then COVID's like, you can only have 10 people. And we had like max 50 tickets sold that we could have done, but then we couldn't.
Well, and
it's just every state's different. So you got to follow the guidelines, and I respect it, but it's just, that's what she's getting at.
And I think that was the difference, is a lot of people, rightly so, hunkered down. And I'm not saying that was the wrong thing to do, because I think it was the right thing. For us, I knew that in order for us to have the momentum today that we had, I knew that we could not stagnate. And so, you know, we're in the red for every event, like probably the first, well, I don't know, up until just recently. I paid $600 out of my own pocket, so we had a good rental car to get through the snowstorm to get us to Virginia. You know, that was me. That was my money. So we were, you know, but we went there, and what, we had 10 people at the event to have 50. And that totally, and the only smidgen, small percentage of money we had, we handed to the family. So there was, that was a $1,000 trip for us, but we did that gladly because, again, there's a threefold thought, and B, I knew that paranormal kicks cancer. I knew we had to keep going. We had to persevere. And it thankfully it's paying off for us now, and it's paying off for the kids, and it's paying off for the locations. We're just exhausted because this is it's every weekend.
And then we had our event in Jasper just last weekend?
Last weekend.
And then completely all of a sudden out of nowhere, you know, one of our guys that came, he's like, hey, how do you feel about having a hearse that you can go from like, awesome. He's like, well, I own one. He goes, I want you to use it whenever you want to use it around town. I'm like, awesome. And I've been telling Alex forever, I want to get a hearse. I want to get a hearse.
I said, you manifested that hearse. He's been talking about this hearse. And I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? I'm like, another one of Chris's things. And it's actually happened for us.
And we were just sitting down and he's like, yeah, I got a hearse if you want to use it.
So now now we're going to have a hearse for our Newport Richey events.
Is it an older version or is it a newer one?
It looks like a newer Cadillac.
It's really badass. I hope I can say that.
We'll post a couple pictures of it.
Awesome. It's pearl white and
it's beautiful.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's only going to help raise more awareness.
And he inquired through his work, because he owns a company, and he did work for a funeral home, and the funeral home's like, oh, let's barter. I give you the hearse, you do the work.
That's so pretty cool.
Hearse now, and I've used it for a few things, but this is like the perfect opportunity to get it out there. Mm-hmm. And we're like, look, put your banner on it too. We'll promote you. You promote us. That's how things get going forward. You know, maybe eventually we'll buy it. Who knows? But I don't know if he's at least offering for us to use it, and it's what we want to do. So,
that's the good part about it. You get to use it, and he gets to advertise. So in a way, letting you use it, he's sponsoring you.
Anyone that wants to help us, we will promote them tooth and nail.
You have 15 years of marketing experience right here. So I don't just say that lightly. You know, I want to market you. I want to help everybody. And if you're a partner of ours, you will get marketed properly and professionally, and you're going to get out to our listeners. Our reach and our social media every week is at least 2,000.
We're gaining left and right,
and we're now up to 3,200 followers, but of course our reach is much broader than that because of everyone else that we touched through.
We did that one post and we got 30,000
yeah, 35,000. It's just
the paranormal world is pretty amazing, you know.
And they're, you know, the paranormal, as you know, paranormal peeps are very loyal. You know, they're good people. So
one of the things we found when we started doing this is that everyone that's involved in the paranormal, they will actually go out of their way to help others.
Yeah, 90% of them.
Yep.
10%.
We haven't ran across any of those 10%ers yet.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's good. I'm glad. You know, but yeah, there's you know, I would say the majority of people are really good people. And they're just amazing and they want to help. And that's why it's so rewarding for us to do what we do, because we love paranormal investigating and we love bringing people together. We love helping people. So all of this comes together for us in this like passion project. And that's how
that's the key to the field, is you got to have a passion for it. If you don't, then there's no room for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just a fact. You know, you can't just step in and investigate and think, oh, I'm here and I'm possibly going to have a TV show and I'm famous. So people need to start paying me $2,500 to come to their events.
That's just it too. That's the other bad thing that gives the paranormal world a bad name. I'm going to come to your house and investigate and tell you that you got a ghost or a haunting, but you got to pay me to do it. Wait a minute. That ain't right. We don't charge nobody for nothing we do.
Point, if they say it's going to cost you, I say you need to go call someone else. Mm-hmm. Or it's going to be $500 to bring a shaman in to bless your house. Like, we're here to help you. If we're here to help you, charging you is not helping you.
No. Right.
And the other thing is, how can you charge someone for nothing tangible they're getting?
Right. Exactly. Well, see, we don't even charge. We'll even go a step further if we, and we've said this, but it didn't, you know, if they wanted a copy, you know, of everything we did, the footage and stuff, we would have given it to them on a jump drive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, not charge it for it. We would have given it to them.
That's the thing. And another thing, too, that I always put out there, because I've been doing it over 20 years. There's people been doing it longer than me, for sure, you know, but is if you're a new team or a new friends or just one person camera and I got a recorder and I'm going to go help people in their homes, I recommend you go to a well-known group, someone that's been known,
seasoned,
learned from them before you go do it, because you're going to cause more harm than good trying to help a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just because you've seen a few TV shows, there's a lot more to it than you think.
Yeah, this is nothing to mess with. And I've seen it myself. I've seen people, they get really excited and they go and get all their equipment and they call themselves a ghost hunter and you know, you're playing with fire if you don't know what you're doing. You know, and so you definitely want to make sure that you're around people who know what they're doing and you're watching people. I studied you for like a long time before, didn't I, babe?
I guess. Not long studied time. Me?
Shut up. But, you know, it's just, I studied, you know, I also, you know, Chris obviously been doing it for a long time, but he also has a lot of friends that have been doing it for a long time. We all would go together and I would just sit back. Now I lead whole teams and everything like that, but I'm very confident in my abilities. But it took 6 months for me to really be able to sit in them and feel really good in my abilities.
You know? You can always learn, and there's no right or wrong field, but there's just learning through experience and the experience that have already happened to be able to steer your way through whatever maybe private might bring you as a private investigation. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of times I'll go into these privates and I listen to the client stories, but I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it, but I'll wait till I get there because I've been doing it long. Now I got your side. Now I'll see, you know, I mean, I've had one where they're like, my son's possessed, you know, he's sick every night. I think demon in him.
And take him to a doctor.
The first thing I do is do the walkthrough. And I'm like, we don't have to go any further. I know what the problem is. And like, what do you mean? My son's possessed. I said, look, I said, come here. And I showed him. I'm like, the EMF detector, I put it there in the son's bedroom where his headboard was their electrical box. And it was 300% higher, the EMF field, than anywhere else in the house.
That can make a person sick right there.
That right there alone is what probably most likely caused it.
I said, this is your problem. I said, here's the two things you need to do before we do anything else. You need to move his room, or at least move the bed to the other side of the room. And you need to call the electrical company and have them shield the paneling.
Right.
So they did that. We did the investigation. I said, we'll finish the investigation. A month later, I get her calling me in tears, telling me, thank you so much. My son's perfect. He's not possessed anymore. I'm like, your son was never possessed.
No.
I said, but I'm very happy. And to top it all off, we got no evidence in the investigation.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. And you can't.
So we're a scientific based team.
Yeah. One of the things, too, though, is when you go into investigations, you can't always go in with the mindset that you're going to catch something.
No, you can't.
Because.
Well, right. There's proof. I mean.
You may never catch anything.
And it's common knowledge that, you know, those electromagnetic fields,
the EMF,
cause a body to be sick and multiple different symptoms. And not everybody, you know, displays all of those symptoms when around those fields. And when they're that strong, like he said, yeah, that kid's going to be sick.
Yeah.
Especially if his bed was right up against it like that.
Can you imagine a 9-year-old having to deal with that?
Man,
it's just crazy. Well,
here's another problem with that. Those EMFs, that they're not just causing sickness, they can actually, a long-term exposure to them can actually cause what you guys fight, cancer.
Exactly. Yeah. And damage the nerves and muscles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just took a simple phone call to have the electric company shield them and move away from the, I don't know anyone that has their bed against the electrical box anyway. So you just got to be cautious when you do things. I mean, and then something else too that I hate is everyone, they see too many shows when you're on investigations. They're like, I've been scratched or I've been pushed. I'm like, what you guys are not realizing is the spirit is not evil and it's not a demon. That's their way to show you they can communicate with you.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm here. Hi.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
there's way too many people screaming demon lately. And I think that that's a negative in our field. I think that's too easy to say. And, you know, you're going to deter a lot. You're going to scare a lot of people. That's a dangerous word to throw out if you're not sure.
Especially if it's family and you're like, oh, we think it's a demon.
Yeah. And I'm not going to go into, you know, are demons real or not? Because that's a crazy subject. But, you know, I definitely, are there dark spirits? Are there dark entities? Yes. You know, are there, if you're an asshole in life, are you going to be an asshole in death? Probably yes. So there's all that to work through. But I think, you know, demon, I don't like when we just throw that out. Oh, it's a demon. It's a demonic energy. I'm sorry. I think people are throwing that out for shock value, and I think it's doing too much damage than good.
There is very small and far and in between that will happen.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
You also, if you think about it with a little common sense too, you know, I've seen a lot of movies, but you know, you take some of this and you think about it, and logic dictates that if you're a spirit, you know, if you've recently passed and you're a spirit, in order to touch somebody or to do anything so that we on the other side of that veil notices, it might take you a while to learn how to do that, you know. So a person's going to get a little frustrated maybe.
Yeah.
But demon, nah, I don't buy it, you know. You know, and it might come out the wrong way. They might not have intended to scratch you. They might have only intended to tap you on the shoulder, saying, you know, it's
like, exactly.
You know, but they're trying so hard to manifest that movement.
Those girls don't know what they're capable of.
Right.
Oh, you know? And it just, instead of jumping the gun, you need to try to understand it and try to understand what's going on. That's why we need to get our stories. So if someone's been in a location and we get their evidence, then we go to that same location and get the evidence and so on and so forth. Then we can build a profile as to what is going on and get a timeline. And then we know what the deal is and how to help. If everyone's battling and fighting and hiding their evidence, then that location's never, you're never going to get to the bottom of that specific location because you're missing pieces. It's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Right. I mean, you got to treat it just like a normal, well, even from a, like a law enforcement, you know, and they're building a case, you got to treat it the same way, like you're building a case, you know.
What piece are we missing? Did this team get it this time around?
Right.
You know.
No, you're not going to get everything. You might not get nothing for days, weeks, months, and then all of a sudden you're out there and boom, something happens.
I always say this, they're not animals and they do perform on cue no matter what you want or what you try.
Right.
Right. We deal with that all the time in our events too.
Why is nothing going on?
Let me
explain. Yeah. We can't make it happen.
Yeah.
We're not the TV shows where it's entertainment purposes only.
We haven't been through here and rigged anything yet, so therefore we're not going to be able to have anything on cue.
You know, but then a lot of them are new people that say they're interested, but then once you explain it to them and they realize there's weeks of just reviewing evidence and getting zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking to yourself.
Passion steps in. Either you got a passion for it or you don't.
Right.
And usually a lot of people, that'll be the end of their paranormal career once you explain that to them.
Yeah.
See, that's just it. you know, I'm always, I'm too curious, you know, and we as a team, you know, and it's, sometimes it's four, sometimes it's five, you know, depends. Sometimes we'll go with other teams, but sometimes it's just Mark and I, but we never go alone. We try never to go alone. But when we go out and stuff like that, we always keep an open mind. We know anything's possible. But, you know, these people expect something all the time. We know that we could go out to a location time and time again, and we could be sitting there for an EVP session or something, and we could just be sitting there talking to ourselves for hours, and nothing happens. Okay, and we get back, and we're reviewing hours of nothing, just us talking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we knew that going into this. But see, we kept an open mind because we explore everything. You know, we don't explore the abandoned, and we go to cemeteries. We go out looking for cryptids, you know, like we've got the Beast of Bray Road, which is pretty famous. It's been a lot of television lately. And then, you know, you've got Bigfoot. He's everywhere, you know. So we keep it, you know, UFOs, they've been spotted around here. Hell, Mark saw one.
Oh, that's awesome. You
know, or what he believes to be one back when he lived in Marshall one day.
Yeah. I saw several of
that picture.
Boom.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then in turn, we were asked to come to a case once. We go to the case, we pull up, and they're having a party in the front yard. Cameras are. It's like, we don't have time for this, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like... They're like, where's the real ghost hunters? We're having a party. We invited our neighbors. It's like, get out here. But, and then you have the cases where the family themselves are always fighting and bickering and arguing, and they're causing the negativity in their house, which is everything going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, you tell them, you know, step back, see what's going on. Try to separate the fighting, the arguing. Try not to do it for a week or two and see if things calm down.
Right.
And then when they see that, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe we're the ones causing everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always have to look for, you know, look for the causes of it. You can't just all of a sudden assume, and I never have, that it's a demon or it's demonic. I mean, yes, the TV shows are out there. They do show what we do in the field to some extent. But I've had conversations with Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters. I've had conversations with them, and they're like, our first two episodes are our best, because I've asked them. And they're like, because that's our original footage before the news crew got involved and said, or the TV show, and said, we have to make things happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And these episodes, people don't realize, 10,000 hours goes into one episode of Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, a lot of
people see that.
Yeah.
So could you imagine watching 10,000 hours of tape to get a 45-minute segment?
No.
Of course, piece stuff together.
Yeah, they're there for like a week, and we're seeing a half an hour episode.
I believe it. I mean, you know, I'd love to get Bobo or Cliff, you know, those guys from the Bigfoot people. I'd love to get some of those guys on their show or just to talk to them once to see if they'd tell us how much of their show is really scripted, you know, how much the producer really makes you say some of these things to make you look goofy, you know. I mean, you know, Bobo apparently is a pretty smart guy from what I've heard, but yet they make him look pretty goofy on the network. But we got to realize it's all about ratings and money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and promotions and getting to that big office and controlling the, you know, we got to be the best network out there to have this stuff. You know.
Yeah, I mean, we have to have entertainment, but to do what we do in this field and to really try to get answers and move it forward, you know, we got to step outside the box. We got to work together. And the only way to do that is to compile what we've already gotten at certain locations to help move that location and move things forward. And then the other thing to me is the equipment. I love all the equipment we use, But we've been using the same equipment for 40 years, 50 mm-hmm. years. Time to step outside that box and try to use other wavelengths, other, just to step outside the box and make new stuff. Instead of just adding a light to a K2, how about we, you know, make like a trigger object box, or we do something that's not there and start just stepping outside the realm and doing new stuff. And that's kind of the direction I want to go. I got some ideas on some equipment I want to make. If anyone's listening, is an electrical engineer, I can use one. I'm not good at that. But other than that,
Chris has $25,000 worth of equipment in our home.
Holy crap.
It's over 21 years though. That's only $1,000 a year. Come on.
It's a sore spot when it comes to packing for every event, because he has to pack all four of his giant cases and I bring my one little one. So, you know, it fills up the whole car, but you know,
that's the opposite there.
But my point to that is when you get to a location,
it's ready to go in 5 minutes and it takes the man the hour or two.
No, it's
to pack.
Opposite. I have one bag and one kit and he fills up my car with everything else. You know, I regardless, but
but just think, if you go into a location you've never been into before and you want to use something you have at home, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to need.
No, there's...
It also doesn't help if you don't have the equipment altogether. And then something happens and it's like, damn it, I should have been wearing a body cam.
Yeah.
No.
We got them now. We wear them as soon as we walk in. Things are on. So
everything. But
I mean, other than that, I mean, you just never know what you need equipment wise. I hate going somewhere and I don't have what you need. I just hate it.
Sounds like Mark.
But then remember the case I put it in, that's a different story. But anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of like me. I've
got to have every little piece of equipment.
I've got probably about $2,000 worth of equipment sitting over here right now. just the stuff I use.
Yeah.
Plus, before you guys came on, I was on Amazon and ordered a couple more pieces of equipment.
Well, for Christmas, I got 17 pieces.
And for Valentine's Day, you got one.
But I ordered myself several new pieces. I got one of the original ovuluses. I got the laser grid 2 from Ghost Stop.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the little digital screen on it. It's really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta go check that place out more.
Yeah, you need to.
I keep hearing about Ghost Stop and our friend Brandon. Our friend Brandon shops there a lot too, I think.
He's just an awesome guy. Ghost Stop's awesome. I've known him since they started. So we used to do big PIA events together and stuff, Paranormal Information Association events. So hopefully we're going to bring them back. But anyway, it's just that's an awesome group of people. They make some really cool stuff. I got a 360 camera that they came out with. It's like a puck. It's like a puck system. But you do have the paranormal puck, too, that Digital Dowsing put out, which is awesome. That older equipment is really cool to find. But some of it's very expensive, too. So
yeah, it is.
Like, yeah.
Well, we're getting close to our hour mark. So is there anything... like any other websites besides the one we got scrolling here you want to plug?
So the main one, I appreciate you guiding them to our website, but the main thing people need to go to is our Facebook page. And that's paranormalkickscancer.llc. That's completely up to date. All of our events are on there. That's definitely where everyone needs to go and like, because that's our most up-to-date information. Okay.
That's why I always ask at the end there. Just to make sure.
Yeah, on Facebook.
Now, you guys didn't write a book or anything, did you?
No.
Okay.
You wanna write?
I'm in a couple books, but no.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, you didn't show it. Don't hold on me. Come on, Joe. We got dead air here. Come on.
No, we can move it. Dropping things, and pick up a mess.
Wait, wait.
No, sorry.
No, it's not you. It's him. He's Mr. Slowpoke tonight.
Yeah, and actually, J.B. Coates wrote a book, and that she dedicated it to PKC.
Cool.
Last year. J.B. is really cool.
Oh, there you go, man.
Now, do you want to say something about this?
Yeah, I was actually asked to be in Fashion Haunts magazine last month, and they did an international, international story. This actually has gone international completely. They're partnered with LA Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week. I've now been invited to go to New York Fashion Week in the fall. So this has really been a really big thing for us because it really has kind of set us apart.
Hopefully we'll see more of us in this magazine in September.
Yep. And we're in talks to be in the cover on September.
For Childhood Cancer Awareness Month.
Cool.
That was fun. I can now say that I'm a model in a fashion magazine.
I'm just the background. She's the model. Just so you guys know. I'm just the stand-in.
Well, isn't that usually the way it goes, that the women are always the models?
Of course. I'm fine with that. I just wanted to let everyone know I understand that.
Well, see, now, Chris, there's something you can add to your resume that you're dating a model.
Yeah.
There you go, Boo-Boo.
She's a model anyway.
Aw, he's so sweet.
All right, guys. Guys, stick around, and we'll be done with our live broadcast here.
Okay, great.
Anything you want to say, Joe?
We'll be back Wednesday with Chris Garcia. He's a psychic medium.
Okay.
That ought to be interesting. You ought to get a kick out of that, Mark. Those are your favorite people sometimes.
Those are my people.
Yeah.
I'll explain why in a minute there.
And until then, I guess it's stay safe. And remember, anything's possible. And don't forget to visit utterlyinsaneproductions.com for all our links. And subscribe to Paraflex for all the bonus footage. Anything else, Mark?
Nope, not that I can think of.
All right. We are...